I love this series, by the way. This Galatians series, I love it. I absolutely love it. And I'm really excited about, you know, this was supposed to be Women's Day last week. Obviously, the Spirit of God moved in a different way for those of you that were here. Some of you may have heard, if you weren't in the room, you may have heard all of a sudden, Leslie said, all of a sudden, Missy was supposed to speak last week and I saw her on the ground. And I was thinking, okay, where do we go from here? You know what happened? Is that it's like all week long you carry burdens and you kind of put on a face and you kind of do your thing. And all of a sudden you come face to face with the Spirit of God around other believers. And it's like what the Bible says in Acts, like when they were all together in one accord, that the Holy Spirit moved in a different way. In a different way last week. And it was so nurturing for my soul that I was like, man, if I say anything right now, it's gonna ruin it. I just wanted to be in that moment. So I appreciate you guys last week just letting the Spirit move how he moved. It was so beautiful. It was amazing. I'm so grateful for it. But I do want to just, remind us of something. The church that I grew up in, we kind of memorialized of movement instead of following God into where he was going. And it caused a lot of damage. And so in services like that, when the Spirit of God moves, sometimes what happens is we go, oh man, is he gonna move like that this week? And I was really praying, I'm like, Lord, keep my heart right this week. What are you doing this week? Are you gonna move in the same way? And he said, why would I? I wanna show you new facets of who I am. So I want us to be encouraged that even though we have a moment like that with God or we have a service like that, it doesn't mean that that goes away. That was a one and done, or that we have to memorialize that moment. We're just going to move by the Spirit of God, however he leads. And so I appreciate this church. I appreciate you, being with us on that process. I am so grateful for the worship team. I don't know if you know, but we had a new drummer this week, Mr. Hyder. Cameron Sumner's fiance, he filled in for us. We appreciate you. Thank you so much for doing that. But this week's message, remember, it was supposed to be last week. So I want to tell you, it is a little bit focused towards women. We are going to talk a lot towards women. However, all of these things apply to men. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman in this room today. I believe that God has something specific for you. And I'm excited about that. The title of my message, if you are taking notes, is called Death of a Woman. Death of a Woman. And I know that's not very happy and it's a little bit probably disturbing for some. Death of a Woman. This is, supposed to be a woman's day. But I believe that God has given this body a specific mandate, like Richie talked about. And I believe that the calling on this body is to live free, to not be bound by all of the other things of the world, or to hear a watered-down message that's not truth. I believe that we do speak truth in this house. I believe we do call a liar a liar. We call a duck. We call it what it is here. And that's just how we live. The reason being is because we want to produce after that. Meaning we're not going to put up a fake facade here and then call you out into the world. You're going to look like the world. So God has called us to live differently. And so that's what we want to produce in this house, is that different grace that God has given us. I want to start by reading today Galatians 5, 13 through 26. And 13 through 15, I preached a message in our fast in January, and I really just focused on marriages. And God gave me this, and as I was studying for this message, the Lord really reminded me of Galatians 5, 13 through 15 was a mandate for married couples in this church, specifically. And so today, I love the fact that I get to speak a little bit more on that and expound a little bit more on that. But if you're married in here, focus on 13 through 15, and then we're going to continue on in that. And it says, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out, beware of destroying one another. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. If you're taking notes, highlight that, please. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what our sinful nature desires. These two factors are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. The results are very clear when you follow your sinful nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. In every part of our lives, let us follow the Spirit's leading. I love that he gives us specific in there what it looks like clearly when we follow our flesh versus what it looks like when we follow the Spirit of God. I want to tell you a quick story. Those of you who know, prior to my job that I have now, I was a community health educator. So I specifically, my population group was a geriatric population, and I was able to go around and disseminate health information, and I would meet at assisted living communities and host seminars at independent living communities, and I would teach them how to live a healthy life over 50. That was my goal, teach them how to live a healthy life over 50. And I was at this one right here in Bel Air. And all of a sudden I noticed this woman during the class. She was sitting there and she's taking notes vigorously, taking notes. And I thought, man, what? She's writing a lot. Like, you know, as someone who's teaching, you're like, yes, they're getting it. You know what I mean? Like, doesn't matter how old you are. And so after class, she came up to me. Beautiful. She's in her 80s, 86, I think she was. She had a walker. Beautiful. She had lipstick on. Her hair was done. I was like, I love her. I absolutely adore her. And so she comes up and she said, I just want to say thank you so much. We need more education. We need people to educate us. And I'm thinking in my mind, okay, I understand I'm teaching a health discipline, but you are older than me. I grew up in a home where we are Italian. You revere your elders, period. Wrong. Whether she was wrong or right, she was taking notes and she was an amazing human being. And so I was just so excited to dialogue and have this conversation with her. And she says to me, she was a teacher in Pinellas County for over 50 years. And so she's telling me about her career and about how amazing her career was. And she tells me that she was up for Teacher of the Year. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what an amazing experience. And I said, what happened? Tell me about it. So she's telling me about her experience. But she said, I didn't end up winning. And I thought, why didn't you win? And she said, I think they didn't like my answer. And so she goes on to tell me what her perspective was. They asked the question, Pinellas County students have been declining in their education and in their stats for, at that time, 20 years. What do you think is the attributing factor that you could pinpoint? And so she said, without a doubt, she said, I believe it's because we broke the glass ceiling for women. And I thought, I said, can you elaborate on that? And she said, when I was becoming, picking my career, what I could do, I had two options. She said, I could either be a teacher or a nurse. Those are my two options. I could go to school for being an educator, or I could go to school for nursing. That was all that was available to women. And she said, but because of the feminist movement and because of, you know, women's rights and things like that, we shattered the glass ceiling. So she said what ended up happening was all of these women who were teaching students who had a chemist brain and a physicist brain, they now were able to do whatever they wanted. And what she said was, there's always a cost for progressivism. Always. The problem is we didn't count the cost as educators, that it would cost children's education because they no longer were having the most brilliant, passionate, nurturing minds teaching them and educating them. Those people were now free to do whatever career they wanted to do. And so I thought about that and I kind of wrestled with that a little bit because, you know, as a mother and a girl mom, I was like, my girls can do whatever they want to do, you know? Immediately I was upset at that, but then I really started thinking about her last statement. There's always a cost to progressivism and we didn't count the cost. And I thought, man, how applicable does that apply in our life with the Lord? How applicable is that in our life with what we do as believers? And I want to talk to you today about three things that I really believe from Galatians 5 that we can really pull out and really isolate out to kind of identify some things. Maybe we have progressed, but has it been for better? Keep that in the back of your mind today. The first point I want to make is this, that we are deceived. Again, we're not going to mince words. We are deceived. The term deceived means to cause someone to believe something that is not true, typically in order to gain personal advantage. Personal advantage. Do you believe that you have an enemy out for your soul who wants a personal advantage over you? You have to believe that, because if not, you're deceived. You're not looking at things with the right perspective, understanding, wait a second, am I seeing with eyes of the Spirit right now? Am I being Spirit-led or am I being flesh-led? You have to ask yourself that question, because if not, then we will walk around with blinders on. We will walk around deceived, not understanding that the Spirit of God has actually called us to move forward and to live differently. That means there are certain things that you can't participate in that other people participate in. Not because God wants to hold you back, but because he knows what puts you in bondage. He knows what keeps you out of bondage. So there are certain things that other people are doing. Hey, did you see this movie? It's so great, blah, blah, blah. You read the reviews and you're like, oh, I don't think I can. Because the Spirit of God won't let me. Not because I don't want to, but because there's a buffer there. There's something there giving me a nudge that's saying, nah, it's not for you. It's okay to miss out on that one. And I think the problem is we forget that the enemy's schemes and plans have been the same throughout history. They're just packaged differently. When he said to Eve in the garden, did God really say? He still uses that same line on us today. That same line he uses on us today when he says, did God really say you couldn't do that? Did God really say you couldn't go there? Did God really say you couldn't date that person? Did God really say you couldn't go to that movie? Did God really say you couldn't do this or that? Did God really say? He echoes that constantly in our mind. Oh, you think you heard God tell you to do that? Did he really tell you to do that? All the time, all the time. If he can create doubt in one generation, every generation after that will suffer. And you know how I know? Because little things that are actually big things today, like male and female, should not even be a question. Yet, people question, am I a male? Am I a female? I don't know what I am. That confusion, we believe, is not of God. The Bible clearly says God is not the author of confusion. So if you are living in confusion, that means somewhere along the lines, I stepped in deception, and that deception has grown in my life, and it's given full fruit. And we've seen the result of what that looks like. Sexual immorality. Come on, church. We got to be serious about this stuff, because the problem is we have a whole generation of kids who are not leading the charge. We're not seeing them called and doing what God has called them to do because they're too busy transgendering, changing themselves over. What are we doing? What are we allowing people to do? And this message isn't popular. On Women's Day, it should be like, oh, everybody do whatever you want. Be a unicorn, be a fairy, you know. Be whatever you want. If you want to be a lion, dress up like a lion and go to school. That's fine. No, the problem is we've stopped teaching standards. We've started adhering to the world's version. There's no longer black and white. It's gray. We live in gray. And that is not what the Bible says. And that's not what is clearly in the Word of God. So for us to fall back into a pattern of that means that progressivism is going to cause some kind of collateral damage. Are we ready for the fallout of that? If we're not, maybe we should count the cost of everything before we step our foot one step forward. We have to be led by the Spirit of God. You don't live in silos. Your decisions affect everybody around you. Everyone around you. That means whatever you think that you're doing in secret, it affects everybody around you. And if you're not careful, the problem is what gives birth in the darkness bleeds over into everyone around you. And so now all of a sudden, this thing that you thought that you were doing on your own, all of a sudden you see, oh, why are my kids participating in that? Why is this happening in my life? Why am I dealing with this situation? You want to know why? Because you sowed a bunch of seeds in the darkness, and now you're reaping those seeds and you don't like it. And the Holy Spirit is drawing attention to that, and he's pulling those things out. And we're seeing pastors being exposed for having sexual indiscretions. And we're seeing pastors and ministers of the gospel stealing money and doing all kinds of crazy things. Why? Because we wink at sin back here in this generation. Oh, it's okay. We're just letting them figure out their way. Their way is the Word of God. That's the light unto their path. And so when we start deviating from that, what we see is chaos. And I'm not saying that God can't move in chaos, because he does, but I'm saying he's order. There's order and discipline to what he does. And he does it for a reason, for a reason. The second thing in there, in Galatians 5, 17, it says in there that we live to satisfy our good intentions. Our good intentions. So that means when I am not led by the Spirit, I'm just doing whatever feels good. Whatever feels right for me at this time in life, I'm gonna do that. But if you read on a little further, it says that there's actually a struggle that's taking place. And we like to categorize this like the angel on the one side, the demon on the other, you know. The problem is this. Here's the problem. That's a real battle. The Holy Spirit is really fighting. It's a different kind of fight when the Spirit wars over you. It's a different kind of fight, because it's like, man, I feel like I'm going a little bit crazy right now, because I am fighting some stuff on the inside. Like, my flesh wants to do this, and the Holy Spirit's saying, you better not do that, man, because the moment that you step in that, you're going to lose this. You're going to lose your family. You're going to lose that. But we just, oh, I just want to give into the flesh. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Are you listening? I believe that there is a place that you could get to in your relationship with the Lord where you have denied his voice so much and your conscience is so seared that what should be bothering you is not bothering you anymore. And that's a problem. That's when we've crossed over into places where we do not belong. We have to pull ourselves. The Lord fights so hard. This is why I said, it's a different kind of fight when the Spirit is warring over you. It's a different kind of fight, because it's a battle of the flesh versus my spirit. Lord, what are you asking me to do? But the enemy is like bombarding your thoughts. He's bombarding your thoughts. things that I thought God had totally dealt with in my life, this is not an issue anymore. Recently, I'm going to be truthful with you. Recently, we heard about a local pastor who had fallen into adultery, okay, and lost his position. We heard about that. Immediately, the enemy starts saying, you know, that's going to happen to you, right? You realize that everything that they're walking through, you're going to walk through, right? Look around. There's no strength. There's nothing. You don't think that weighs on you after a while? When you start to question the very basics of, wait a second, where, Holy Spirit, why can't I understand what you're saying to me? I'm so full of fear. I'm so full of anxiety. Like, oh my gosh, is he on the phone? Is he over here? And I'm like, we've been married 21 years. I have never questioned this. All of a sudden, one thing, and this is why I say your decisions are not your own. They affect everyone around you because the enemy will use that one sin and he will gun splatter it everywhere. Oh, look at that. This is what's going to happen to you. And you have to have such a keen ear to hear what the Spirit is saying so that you do not fall into the trap of the enemy, because he would like nothing more than to keep you bound in fear. That is not how God has called us to live. I want to explain to you a little progression. I kind of wrote it just like this. When the enemy is trying to cause us to get into a place where we're going through repeated sin, following in repeated sin, this is what it looks like. The enemy plants a seed of doubt, okay? Little seed of doubt. That leads to deception, okay? From there, the deception causes uncertainty. Uncertainty causes us to search for knowledge. All of a sudden, what I knew, I don't know anymore. So I'm gonna search for knowledge, okay? As a result, you satisfy your good intentions. I'm gonna tell you how the very first time we ever see this played out in history, Genesis 3:1-7, listen to this. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals that God had made. One day he asked the woman, pause. He was already in the garden. She was not afraid of him. That means he was hanging out. There are some familiar things, y'all, that we have allowed in our lives that it's not a big deal. Oh, it's not a big deal. It's familiar. It's fine. I'm good. I have control. The problem is you have control until you don't have control. I'm gonna keep reading. One day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the tree in the garden? Of course we may eat fruit from the tree in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it, or you will die. You won't die. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. There's your deception right there. You won't die. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of that fruit and ate it, and she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. Listen to the progression. Doubt. Did God really say? Deception. Uncertainty. No. No. You won't die. Uncertainty, desire for knowledge. She wanted the wisdom it would give her. And then she carried out her good intentions. We have to appreciate the struggle on the inside that we feel. Some of you are bothered. Richie says this all the time. If God's bothering you, it's for a purpose. There's a purpose in the struggle internally, because we don't get to carry out our good intentions. That buffer is there for a reason. That means every time that you're flipping through channels, all of a sudden you see something and you're like, huh, I kind of want to watch that. But you know in your mind that the Holy Spirit says, hey, just keep going. That's a trap. Just keep going. It's going to put your thought life in a place where you don't want to be. And in a year from now, you're going to be looking at things and you're going to be viewing things that God has not called you to do. And then you're going to start fantasizing about things that God has not called you to do with people that he has not called you to do that with. And let me tell you something. There is nothing scarier for a man than for him to have a daughter and remember all the crap he did in his past. There's nothing scarier. There's nothing scarier. You know why? Because all of a sudden, oh my gosh, I see the trap of the enemy. But if you are led by the Spirit, he gives you warning and wisdom all along so that you don't live in a pattern of deception, so that you don't get bound into slavery that he has not called you to be bound in. He's called us to live free. He's called us to be free. So that means every time that I put myself in a situation where now I become hooked by the enemy, he uses that whenever he wants. I want nothing on me. I don't want him to have any kind of hold on me. I don't want to be in a worship setting and all of a sudden start replaying all the junk from my week that I participated in. I want to be in a place where I can lift my hands freely and I can say, I'm not perfect, but I'm in process. I'm not perfect, but I trust you. I'm not perfect. My life doesn't look the way I want it to, but I trust you. Listen to this for a second. Verse 9, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry. Pay attention to this. Hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger. Some of you are like, that's Tuesday night at my house. That's like a Tuesday. I mean, Missy, that's like a Tuesday. I literally wrote it in my notes. That's a Tuesday sometimes, right? Quarreling, hostility, outbursts of anger, rage. The Bible is very clear. Those kind of things are because I'm not being led by the Spirit of God. So that means I need to go back to, do I have this internal struggle inside of me that says, hey, don't say that. Hey, don't live like that. There was a time in my life, I know you guys are gonna find this so hard to believe, but there was a time in my life where I was probably a little crazy. Okay? I might've been just a little, okay? Both my kids were born. They were old, a little bit older, not as old as they are now, but a little bit older. It's probably about 5 years ago. And life just kind of happens, right? And we talk about this all the time, how, you know, you think that you're over things, you think that you're healed, then all of a sudden God brings, you know, your kids up, and all of a sudden all of this junk from your past starts to come up, right? Well, apparently what comes up for me is the crazy Italian mom that wants to throw shoes and like be, you know, slam doors and be nutty and be wild, okay? So there was a season of my life, sometimes you just snap, if I'm being truthful. And I can remember having this moment where I completely lost self-control, completely, where I was just a raging lunatic. Let me say it like that, raging lunatic. I like those words, it's nice. And I was, and I got to this point where I lost self-control. I was so mad, nothing was going my way. I was pouting, I was whining, I was crying, I was yelling at the kids, I was yelling at Richie, we can't do anything right, everything sucks, blah, 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 all of this stuff, right? So I say to him, we need to talk. You know how we are, we need to talk. So we have a talk, and you know what he says to me, babe? Here's the deal, I don't know what's going on right now. I don't know what's going on, but I do know this, that I feel like the Lord is applauding us for what we're doing. I feel like he appreciates us. I feel like we're not perfect, but we're in process. And I'm sorry that you feel like our life is terrible. I'm sorry that you feel like I'm not doing a good job as a husband or a spouse, dad, whatever, but you're more than welcome to be here. The girls and I are not living in your mood. That made me mad. Because misery loves company, and I need you to give in to my fit that I am pitching right now. And so I said, fine, Yeah. Nasty, right? Okay, so they go and live their life. They're living their best life. They're going for ice cream and doing their thing. And I'm locked in my room like Rapunzel because I am so mad at the world, right? And so eventually we emerge and we have a family conversation, right? And so the family conversation goes where I start pouring out my heart, telling the girls all these things. And Richie stands up and says, here's what we're doing as a family. We're gonna walk in self-control. We're gonna be led by the Spirit. And he kind of, without prophesying, he kind of prophesies and puts our family in direction. For me, I needed that. And let me tell you why. Because whenever you don't speak truth, you rob people of an opportunity for growth. In that moment, I needed to learn something. What I needed to learn was that it's okay to be upset, but it's not okay to lose self-control. What he was teaching our girls in that moment is that you can communicate your frustrations, you can be sad, but you cannot bleed that all over the family. Nobody else needs to be in a bad mood with you. That's not healthy. We can learn to process our emotions and walk out of this, okay? 1, 2, 3 break, we're all okay, all right? And so we left there that day. And I will tell you something. In that moment, I was really upset. But when I look back over my family, if I'm being truthful with you, and we've done this on multiple occasions, we've genogrammed and diagrammed our family, I have mental disease on both sides of my family. Both sides of my family. So the pattern for me is to easily slip into outbursts of rage, anger, hostility, quarreling. That's a pattern. But I also know now after reading the word of God that that's a pattern of my flesh. I don't have to live that way. I can live by the Spirit, which gives me love, joy, peace. Those moments when I feel that hostility, I can go to him and say, hey, Holy Spirit, I'm feeling some kind of way right now. I need your direction in this moment. Why am I feeling what I'm feeling? Instead of being like in my mind, like with a, you know, voodoo doll. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we got to be truthful with it for a minute. We don't have to live that way. For some of you, that's the only way you've ever known. Your parents were like that. Your grandparents were like that. And so you automatically assume, like, that's how I'm going to be. The Holy Spirit has called you to break that generational curse and to live differently. I thank the Lord for a husband who could recognize my crazy in that moment was not me being led by the Spirit of God or that I had some kind of deep revelation to tell everyone in our family. Mommy's kooky. Mommy's kooky. We're gonna live different. And to be honest with you, I needed that. I needed that. Ladies, let people speak truth into your life. Let your community rally around you. Give them the info. Hey, listen, I'm struggling right now. I just could use some prayer. We don't have to have it all figured out. We don't have to be perfect, but we do have to be in process. Be in process. The last thing is this. We aren't teaching. And I love this because it kind of ties into that story that I told in the very beginning. We aren't teaching. We've stopped valuing the art of teaching. This beautiful woman in that assisted living community, what she was saying was, because all of these other professions were now open and women could do all of these other prestigious things, teaching became a back burner or a lesser profession. And she said, there's no greater joy than dissecting information, getting information, and then teaching it to someone younger than you. Seeing that aha moment, having that just dialogue of, man, this is so amazing here. And you're passionate about it because you live it. In the body of Christ, do we do that? Are we passionate about the word of God? Did you know that there's a statistic out, Pew Research finalized it this year, and it said that 75% of women in the U.S. call themselves Christian. That's a huge number. I was like, oh, okay, Christian, right? It's like Christian, Protestants, Catholics, Greek Orthodox, there's Latter-day Saints, a couple of Jehovah's Witnesses, all lumped into this category of Christian. But only 30% of those believe that the word of God is actually the word of God. That blew my mind. How do we have 75% of people and women in the U.S. that call themselves Christian, but only 30 of them believe that the word of God is truth? What are we teaching? What are we perpetuating? You know what one of the highest percentage was of those? That people believed that it was a good story with good principles, but it was not the truth. This is why I said progressivism costs us. What is it costing you? What is it costing your family? What is it costing your neighborhood? What is it costing your community? There are people that should be in this church that don't want to be in this church because it means you have to do hard things here. That struggle, that internal struggle, we have to have that. We have to be okay with that. If we're not, we're going to look like the world. And then we're going to wonder why, man, why aren't my kids saved? Man, why aren't people doing what God has called them to do? Well, I don't know why. When was the last time that you witnessed to someone? When was the last time that you told somebody that God loved them? Just because, not because, you know, it earned you anything. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14 says this: you have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. You should know the difference between right and wrong. You should know that it's okay to be a woman and it's okay to be a man. Amen. You should know that. Some of you have been saved so long that you should be teaching classes. You should be leading discipleships. You should be mentoring others. But instead of that, you're looking at porn. I gotta be truthful. You're participating in things you should not be participating in. You are acting out things you should not be acting out. You are addicted to things you should not be addicted to. You have outbursts. You have rage in your home. And God has not called you to live that way. And as of today, God's saying, if you will just give it to me, if you will give it to me, if you will surrender to me, I promise you, I will meet you exactly where you are and I will walk out healing with you. But you have to participate in that. Before we leave today, I have three questions I want to ask you. The first is this: are you walking in a pattern of deception? Are you walking in a pattern of deception? I'm not talking about being perfect. God hasn't called you to be perfect. He understands that we're human. He understands we're gonna mess up and make mistakes, but there should be something inside of you that says, I cannot do that. I cannot participate in that. I have to live different. The second question is this: is there an internal struggle happening in your life, or are you living to satisfy your good intentions? I'm fine. It's fine. The last question I have is this: have you stopped living by and teaching the truth? Deuteronomy is very clear when it says, teach these things to your children. Talk about them constantly. Talk about them when you're walking in the streets. When you're tucking them in bed at night, teach them about how faithful God has been. That's how we keep generations from becoming trapped in bondage. That's how we keep us and our families from being in a situation where we wake up one day and our kids tell us, I'd rather be a man. I'd rather be a woman than what God has called me to be. You are an image bearer of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He made you specifically. He knit you together in your mother's womb and fashioned you for a purpose. As you're leaving today, women, we have something specific for you. And I want to read it. It's a little affirmations. I would call it affirmations. But it's an affirmation. And my hope is that you would put it, it's a magnet, put it somewhere where you can keep it, where you can quote it every day. Because this is what it says, I am a woman. I am an image bearer of the creator of the universe. I am loved. I am valued. And my heart is relentlessly pursued. I am not perfect, but I am constantly making progress. I will live free today. I will not become entangled in unhealthy emotions or operate outside of the grace God has given me for this day. I will receive new mercies today. I trust you, Lord, because you are better than I could have ever imagined. I will be characterized by life-giving fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I am not a slave to my past because I have surrendered it to God. He alone is my redeemer. I will not be deceived because I know my heavenly daddy's voice. I do not live to satisfy my good intentions because I am comfortable with the internal struggle. I teach the truth of God's word, not to hear myself speak, but to advance the kingdom of God. Today, I will be led by the Holy Spirit. I will bring God my best and my yes. Will you stand with me? Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, God, today to speak truth, to be in the company of other believers. God, to advance the kingdom, Father God. Lord, I thank you for your spirit that's in this room. God, I thank you for your presence that is here. Holy Spirit, don't let us leave here without being changed by you. I thank you for the conviction of your Holy Spirit. God, I pray for every person in here who has told themselves, tomorrow I'm not going to, but then they give into their flesh. I come against every demonic spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would expose it for what it is. God, if you have to get us to the place of complete desperation, so that we are desperate to see you move in our lives, God, I pray you would do that. Lord, if it means that we have to wrestle, if it means that we have to appreciate the internal struggle, Father God, that buffers us from acting out what our good intentions are, God, I pray that you would rub us, Father God, in such a way that we wouldn't do it. Lord, keep us just hemmed in, Father God, as you have called us to be. Lord, I thank you for your spirit that is in this place today. I thank you that today is a day of change. And Lord, we surrender everything that we have to you. In Jesus' name, amen.